Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 107 of Tatooine Sons. Woo! The Rise of Skywalker novelization is still more than a week from being released, but the expanded details are already all over social media. Some of these revelations aren't all that surprising, but one is huge. This week, we'll discuss five revelations that we think are the most interesting, plus hot takes, poll results, and more.
This is madness!
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do. Or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt. And shoot out, Star Wars fans. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're missing out if you don't read this book.
Yeah, this book is going to be...
The big boy.
I don't know. I mean, we were excited getting into the Last Jedi novelization that there was going to be new things, the expanded novelization.
Yeah, yeah.
This one, I think, is shaking up things. And then I lied, but anyway, on your intro. Sorry about that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So, on that note, here's my dad, the bow tie.
Oh, you're not.
No, I didn't lie about that.
Oh.
Let's just announce that to the entire world. So, son, well, Nathan, there's something I need to... No, I'm kidding. Yeah, hold on.
I got a bad feeling about this.
No, when we wrote this, we were going to be recording this like Sunday or Monday, but then we didn't. So when it says that it was more than a week away from the release of the book, that's not the case because this is coming out on Friday the 13th, which is that it's been that kind of week. Full moon, Friday the 13th, all that craziness. Kind of stuff. Time change, crazy stuff. Trips to Orlando and back in 36 hours. But anyway, it'll be like 4 days before the Rise of Skywalker novelization comes out. So, sorry about that. Didn't mean to mislead.
False information.
How's everybody doing this afternoon?
Fine.
Tired.
A little bit, but that's just because we flew to Orlando and back. We left Tuesday morning at like the... Like two in the morning from the hotel or the house, 2:30 or 3 or something like that, from the house to get to the airport and get to Orlando and then turn around and come back late last night. We got home and I was in bed at 2:30, got up about 7:30 in order to start my work day.
Jeez.
That's cool. But explain what we went. I think we talked about it last episode, yeah. But explain what we went for.
No, we went to go visit a potential college for me, University of Central Florida. I got accepted there, but we needed to see if it would be even worth considering. And then we were also looking at like housing in the area around there. It was really nice.
What did you think about the school?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. They've got a great engineering program. They work almost like directly with NASA and things like that. So I think it's a great school. I think it'll work. It'll end up, if I do decide to go there, I think it'll be a great school.
Yeah, well, I think one of the coolest parts of the stories about it was the Space Mountain car that they had in the engineering building. Why don't you explain?
Yeah, so back when they were creating Space Mountain, they sent it on a test run and with, like, you know, dummies in there to, like, just see how they would behave. And when the cart came back...
we're not talking about, like, the Phantom Menace dummies. That's crash test dummies. Sorry. Yeah. That was ugly. Sorry.
That was kind of...
I apologize.
No, but when the cart came back, there were no more dummies on the actual... track around an actual cart. So they sent the cart to the engineers at UCF and were like, all right, fix this. So they came up with the T-bar harness system that is present in a lot of roller coasters today. So yeah, that's kind of neat.
That is pretty cool. And there's they're like a farm system for Disney too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They work a lot NASA. With Disney NASA, which would be either one of them would you be okay with? I think NASA first, right? I'm not sure. What do you think about Orlando, our little whirlwind trip back and forth, BB Nate?
Not
much to it. You just went along for the ride.
Yeah.
Tell me about, give us your review of Spirit Airlines.
Was it good?
Huh? I got a bad feeling about this.
The tray wasn't a tray. It was maybe 4 inches long. Like, and it was tiny. It was very, very small. And the guy was checking, going through the cabin before takeoff, which it was like 40 minutes after we were like supposed to take off. But he was checking through the cabin. He's like, sir, can you please put up your table? I'm like, this is a table?
it's like a lip. You could
yeah.
There was barely anything to it. The seats were basically just leather wrapped
plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like after 4 hours.
Oh my gosh. People were grumpy. We were in the back of the plane. We were trying to make the best of it.
Turbulence was freaky. That's not
on them. My gosh.
Not on them, but that was freaky though.
Well, might be
that was some bad turbulence.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I guess, you know, other things that have been happening. Buster got really sick. Now, if you guys, you know, if you're a regular listener, you know that Buster is the inspiration for the name of Turbus the Porg. Yes. His names with the syllable switched. He got really sick last Friday.
Yeah. You're pretty worried about him.
It was like Friday evening. We were watching a TV show together as a family, and Buster's breathing got super shallow, and he was whimpering, and it didn't... I mean, literally, I'm generally not an alarmist when it comes to stuff like that. My philosophy is usually, it'll probably take care of itself. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
At a point that night, I didn't think he was going to make it through the evening, let alone to the next morning. But, you know, he perked up the next morning and seemed fine and has been doing fine ever since. Yeah. So... that's good.
we're not complaining.
No, definitely excited about that. Yeah. So,
and your birthday is coming up.
Yeah, last year was like you guys voted on the on Twitter and stuff to tell me what to do for my birthday. It's always Star Wars related.
Well, yeah.
And you know I think we're gonna do some stuff. You guys are going out of town the weekend before my birthday, the 21st, 22nd. What is that not happening?
Oh, it may be a little earlier, actually.
You guys are
maybe we're thinking about it. So a little back.
This is news.
Yeah, I didn't.
This is what happens when I've been working all day.
My mom told you this.
Not this
anyway,
part.
But this is not set in stone.
Impressive.
It was basically a little backstory. My college is closing down due to the coronavirus.
Oh yeah.
And
just like Disneyland and E3 and all this other stuff.
And so my classes are going to online, which I'm not thrilled about. Anyway, the nice thing is, though, is they're starting spring break a week earlier. So I actually have a 2-week spring break.
Woohoo!
We were going to go down.
Fun begins.
Yeah.
During the regular spring break to visit our grandparents down in Orange Beach, Alabama. But we might be going earlier due to the fact that we have a longer spring break. So we'll see. It's not set in stone or anything yet. It's just kind of been an idea.
It's been a discussion.
Yeah. No. So then we might be leaving.
Have we looked at ticket prices? Are they going to be the same to change?
No. We mentioned it. And we left and Mom went to take a nap. So
yeah, we haven't talked a whole lot. So.
We haven't talked much about it at all.
But I thought she would have
told me. So birthday plans. But this is really not about you guys. It's my birthday.
Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, we normally would do like the weekend before. Maybe we'll do it this weekend. A Star Wars weekend. And so I have a feeling we're going to watch the despecialized original Star Wars. I want to watch that with you guys. We have not watched it yet. I don't know. We've talked about it on this show.
Yes.
But we haven't watched it yet. I would really like to watch that. I'm... kind of tempted to do a rewatch of the first four episodes of season 7 of The Clone Wars since I slept through one of them. But I've been watching season 6 on all these flights that we've been at. Mm-hmm. I watched the arc with Tup and...
Tup's my guy.
You like Tup?
I like Tup.
Tup and Fives and Rex a little bit, but the whole inhibitor chip arc. I finished that on the way back from Orlando yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I need to watch those again.
I'm excited about kind of the Bad Batch storyline that's
there. We need to watch the episode where Echo dies. The Citadel.
We can watch the Citadel episodes. Yeah. But with that, and that's awesome because it's going to have our buddy Steven Stanton as well as Tarkin. Steven Stanton also plays Mos Eisley, doesn't he, in the Clone Wars?
Yes.
So he was in he was in a couple of those episodes that I watched on the plane yesterday.
Cool dude.
So just going to chill out and watch some Star Wars this weekend. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's usually my birthday. I got a really cool shirt.
You did.
In Orlando, too. We went down to Disney Springs. Did not have the time or the funds to crash Galaxy's Edge in our 24 hours that
it was
we were
horrible,
in Orlando.
Though. See, we walked out of the plane and we're walking through Orlando Airport, and
about Disney World. Nothing at
it. I completely forgot that Disney World was in Orlando.
We were focused in on UCF.
Yeah. I walk and I see like the cases they have for the trains or whatever. And it's just plastered with Galaxy's Edge, like, decals and stuff. And I'm like, that's just
advertisements
cruel.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. It was cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, so we went and met my wife, Christy's dear mom. Just to clarify for everybody. Anyway. We met her brother. He was in Tampa, actually, for those very same days. For some work stuff, and so we drove halfway. Well, we thought it was going to be like halfway between where we were in Orlando and where he was in Tampa. We meet in the middle. Where do we meet?
Disney World.
Like 15 minutes from
Disney World. No, not even. It was like a mile and a half from the entrance to Disney World. And of course, we're seeing all this stuff. We're having dinner with him on Tuesday night. So you guys came up with the idea of going to Disney Springs.
Yeah. Because might as well get our Disney fix already.
Which is free. Yeah. We just walked around Disney Springs for a little while.
It was fun.
It was packed.
It was.
With it, which is kind of crazy with all the coronavirus. You kind of wonder if that's going to happen. So not going to happen at Disneyland because he just announced it's closing.
That does give him a lot of time to do construction.
So we went to, we looked, they had a couple Star Wars related stores.
Kind of cool.
And they had some cool stuff. And Christy was asking me what I wanted for my birthday, which it's kind of a good place to figure that out, right?
Yeah.
Star Wars. So we went into one store that was just sort of a apparel store.
It was like, I think it was like what? Like they
Tokyo,
took the clothes like
they wear
from
Tokyo and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And would bring them here or whatever.
So anyway, they had a really cool First Order Stormtrooper shirt made by a graffiti artist from New York City, like a specially commissioned shirt.
Yeah.
And it's a hoodie and
looks cool.
And I like it, so you can check it.
It's really white though, and I'd be afraid to like spill something on it, like ketchup or something.
Well, as we all know, I'm a little white too, so you know, I'm really white. You should watch me dance.
And you passed that to me. Thank you very much.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, so. Well, cool. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we get... we got so much stuff that I want to talk about right now.
What?
About the show and some cool stuff that's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just say some really amazing stuff that could potentially be on the horizon in the next month or two.
Mm-hmm. Slim chance, but...
No, it's not a slim chance. I was dealing with, like, having great conversations with some people from a very major thing, and they want to potentially commission some shows. So that would be pretty cool. Yeah. So anyway, we're hoping
that's... I wonder if we can get any more vague.
I'm trying to be as vague as possible.
Do that thing with the thing that...
But here's... That one thing with that one place that's going to ask us to do this other thing that we've tried to do before but not really as executed, but they want to like help us make it happen in a really effective way and then promote it on their thing. And that's kind of what it is. Here's what I'm going to tell you, though. I'm on all seriousness, though. If you're listening to this show and we get to the point where this actually happens, we are going to ask for your help in getting the word out about this, because it's an opportunity that we would have never dreamed could happen to this podcast. And any podcast would be thrilled to have this opportunity. And it looks like it's coming soon. It's coming soon.
We'll
so very exciting. Why don't we do this? Why don't we move on and stop being so vague? And I think I lost the podcast poll intro, so we'll have to fix that. And then we'll talk about that next.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it.
What?
No!
Found it.
And the magic of editing, you can, like, make it seem like nothing actually happened.
Are you going to remove the part where you said you couldn't find it, though?
No, I'll leave that in there. Why not? Yeah. Anyway, all right, so this last week, do you see how I fixed that? I just saved it. This last week's podcast poll results. You guys did amazing. 1,168 votes. Actually, it was ended up being like 1,181 by the time it was done, because I snipped this a little bit early. Who's your favorite non-force user in Star Wars? Han Solo. You said Din Djarin or Boba Fett, right?
Yeah, I was a little tied.
Yeah, probably a little bit tied. What did you say again, BB Nate? I mean, Han Solo's my guy, so.
It was BBA or Turbis.
Turbis, yeah. You just...
You kind of have to.
You're just like a shill for Tatooine Sons of Star Wars podcast. That's all that is.
I like both of them.
Anyway, what's your favorite? Who's your favorite non-force user in Star Wars? We have Han Solo, Padme Amidala, Jyn Erso, or you could just name your own. Any surprises on these vote percentages before we get there?
Nope.
10% said they wanted to name their own. 12%, 12.5% said Jyn Erso. 16.5% said Padme Amidala. And 60.3% of you are correct.
I have spoken.
Han Solo is
correct.
60% got it right. So, yeah. We want to hear what you guys think of. JG. It's good to have JG back in the mix here a little bit. Haven't heard from JG Carson in a while. He's been dealing with some stuff. So, glad to have him interacting with the show a little bit this week. I know he's been interacting before this, but his poll was great. Does it have to be just one? Because, ugh, is what he said. Ray Sloan, Afra, Cad Bane are all really high. I think Sloan has the edge. Was going to put Marin on here, but she technically uses a force through Night Sister magic.
That's spoilers.
Who's Marin?
The Fallen chick Order. From Fallen Order.
Okay, I want to make sure. Yeah. Ray Sloan, you guys know who Ray Sloan
is,
right?
I'm forgetting who Ray Sloan is.
Okay, Ray Sloan is like the big baddie in the Aftermath trilogy.
Oh, well.
So she's the lead with Gallius Rax. She's the one. She becomes like the Grand Moff of the entire Empire as it becomes the First Order. And
the name sounded familiar.
Yeah, she was an awesome character. I really hope they do more with her in comics and and stuff like that. She's a very, very fun. And she's actually in A New Dawn, which is the first novel in the new canon with Hera and Kanan. That's the prequel to the Rebels series. She's the big baddie in that one, too. One of the big baddies. I'm with it. So, very good. Who's next?
So we have Daniel T. Foster.
Daniel! What's up, bud?
At Weird One, but Weird is spelled Weird.
It's spelled a little weird.
W-E-E-R-D.
One.
Yes.
There you go.
So anyway, what did Dan say?
He said Harrison Dula.
Harrison Dula. Pretty cool.
She's pretty cool.
Love her. Lots of people said Harrison Dula. Harrison Dula. A lot of people said that. Very cool. And then, of course, we're going to let you go for it.
From Metal Mando at Jeff Keltz. He said, this is the way with, like, rock on.
Like rock on symbol.
And it's just got Din Djarin in there.
Din Djarin.
Picture of Din Djarin. Smart man.
Yeah. I like him. You agree?
I do agree.
With him?
I think he's a cool character.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about some Star Wars news? There's some really interesting stuff coming up. I'm not sure we're ready for it. So is the big bad villain of the High Republic era... This is my favorite part of the show. I'm just going to stop and say that because it's stuff you have no idea that's coming.
Okay.
The hot takes part of it. You guys don't know what we're talking about. So there's sometimes I get to throw in things like this next piece.
Okay.
So anyway, is the big bad villain of the High Republic era the previously unseen Mortis Mother?
Ooh. Mm.
Info on a potential video game being developed by EA has been leaked.
I'll have to mention one of my theories.
Cool. And they fly now gag from T-Ross just won't go away. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right.
Well,
Star Wars' next major villain could be a Forgotten Legends demon. This is from Inverse.com. Yeah, they do okay with it. Sometimes they're a little clickbaity, but, you know, sometimes our show's a little clickbaity. Yeah, right. Let's just be honest.
Maybe everyone does a little clickbaity.
All righty. Prior to Disney's acquisition of Lucasfilm, in the expanded Universe Legends continuity, the ones, which most Star Wars like fans mm-hmm. would say are the inspiration for Mortis' father, son, and daughter. That's okay. A family. Okay. The ones had a fourth member named Abeloth. Once a mortal, Abeloth crossed paths with beings of Mortis and joined their ranks to become the mother. Through the Legends continuity, though the Legends continuity is no longer considered canon, Reddit user Dr_Charisma, want to give credit where credit is due, predicts Abeloth is the High Republic's primary villain and she will be the one to control the Nihil characters set to appear in the books. Abeloth, this is a quote, also known as the bringer of chaos and beloved queen of the stars, was a being very powerful in both the dark side of the force and the light side of the force because she drank from the well of power and bathed in the pool of knowledge. She first lived as the servant, a mortal woman who served the powerful ones on an unknown jungle planet over 100,000 years before the Battle of Yavin. Over the course of her life, she became the mother. She kept the peace between the father's warring son and daughter. Yep, then Sam's looking at a picture of her right
now. Yeah, it looks like you.
So she kept peace between the father's warring son and daughter. Very Mortis-esque right there. And became a loving part of the family, but she was still mortal. She grew old while her ageless family lived on, and she feared she would lose her precious family. In a desperate attempt to hold on to the life that she so loved, she drank from the font, or I think it's found. Font is like a writing thing.
Yeah.
Fount
is Comic Sans.
Yeah, I typed that wrong. The fount of power and bathed in the pool of knowledge. Her actions corrupted her, transforming the mother into the twisted immortal entity known as Abeloth. And that was all from Wikipedia. So it's usually pretty accurate.
Yeah,
they know. They talk about
Turbis. Well, they said he was canon before the comic actually came out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Samuel the Hutt.
That's me.
How would you feel about the Mortis family and especially the untalked about Mortis mother being a central series of characters in the High Republic?
I think that sounds like a lot of fun, actually. You know, in the promo clip or whatever where they were announcing this whole thing, they talked about, you know, what scares the Jedi. Well, I mean, she seems pretty freaky. I think it'd be a fun character. She seems powerful enough to where it'd be a reasonable threat for the story. But, you know, it'll also help clear up the fact that there's not a mother in the whole family thing. Which, I mean, come to think of it, I never really noticed that till we just talked about it. But I think that'd be a really fun character to talk about. She sounds pretty scary. And, you know, they were talking about how there's going to be some scary stuff in these books. So I think it'd be a lot of fun. I'm excited for it.
BB Nate, curious, you know, is this a really effective way for them to bring in a terrifying baddie that's not Sith, that's not Rule of Two, that's not... you know, Exegol, it's kind of allows it to be a completely different series of bad guys and still scary and that kind of thing.
What do you think about that? It would work because this is set, what, 600 years?
200. 200. What we were hearing in rumors was 400. This is actually 200 years.
Ah, so it would still work that haven't found or fought a Sith. Yeah, I was going to say a thousand years. So that would still work because they didn't consider the Mortis son a Sith, even though he was tapping from the dark side. So, I mean, it would definitely work. It would scare the Jedi, I think.
Scare me?
It's pretty freaky, and I mean, just everything about it would work with the Mortis and them being able to bring her into this. But it definitely wouldn't be able to be put into the kids' books.
That's true.
I think it'll be cool, too, for, like, Legends fans, too, because they're already sort of kind of nodding towards the Old Republic stuff, so now they bring in another classic character from Legends. I think that'll be pretty cool for Legend fans.
Absolutely. Okay, next one. Everything we know about the Star Wars Project Maverick video game. This is from, again, Inverse. They had a couple good articles this week, so Inverse.com. The PSN Releases Twitter account, so it's called PSN Releases, which leaks data mined information from the PSN store, shared some kind of teaser image for a game called Star Wars Project Maverick on March 4th that was added to the European PlayStation Network store. The tweet refers to the game simply as Maverick, and it may be the same game hinted at in a February 2020 Kotaku report, claiming that Electronic Arts was developing a Jedi Fallen Order sequel and a smaller, more unusual project at EA Motive.
Okay.
All right. The teaser image shows a single Imperial Star Destroyer and a small squadron of X-Wing fighters on some kind of fiery planet reminiscent of Mustafar.
Before, you know, everything happened.
Before the Vader Memorial.
Yeah, that's...
Since the leak, all traces have been scrubbed from the PlayStation Network, but the internet has a pretty good memory. Yeah. With a BB-8, what do you think? Excited or not for a potential Maverick game?
I'm excited. It's pretty convenient how EA's servers got hacked and then this release, because I was playing Battlefront 2 and it's like, sorry, the servers can't be connected to, and then I read they released a report that they got hacked and like,
Yeah, so you were trying to log into Battlefront 2 and you couldn't get in.
No.
Okay.
But it released like the day after, maybe even the day of, so I'm like, that's pretty strange how an EA game was
A Star Wars EA game was leaked. Yeah.
But it looks like it's going to be a kind of like a Jedi Starfighter game or...
Yeah, piloting
thing. Piloting.
Hence the name Maverick.
But I'm sure it'd be fun because they know how to do that stuff now instead of the weird controls.
Do you think the name of the game is Maverick, or is that like the code
name? I think it's like a code name.
Yeah, because like, that doesn't seem Blue Harvest, like Star Wars.
Things like that.
Space Bear. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Trixie.
Yeah.
That was episode 9. Yeah, which makes sense because if it is a space battle game, like a Starfighter game, then the Maverick thing would be tying into Top Gun and that kind of thing. So that's pretty cool.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. I hope if it's on PlayStation 4,
it will be.
They'll have a VR mode. Kind of like what they had in Battlefront 1.
I had not thought about
that. The X-Wing mission, remember that? That was a lot of fun. I think they can make it to where it's normal, flat screen, so everyone could play it. But I think they should make it to where it has a VR mode.
Now, do PlayStation games have both modes?
Some games do. Have to program them in.
Okay.
They could just port it straight VR to, like, say, the Quest or, say, to HTC. So
my question is, what do you guys know about EA Motive, that division?
They are the ones that did Battlefront 1 and Battlefront 2.
That's right.
So they know how to do their VR.
So they fixed some things with Battlefront 2, so maybe
they fixed a lot of things.
They can do that. All right.
I think that'll be a lot of fun.
They fly now.
Mm-hmm.
That we were joking about that when we watched the latest episode of the Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Kira Dax, was it Anakin that said it originally? They fly now? And then
I don't think he said they fly.
Somebody said it, didn't
they? He said something about flying. I don't think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I saw it all over social media, people joking about it and tying it to the scene from The Rise of Skywalker.
I think everyone was a little bit.
Yeah. So that was the On the Wings of the Kira Dox episode. The log line for that was, with Echo recovered, Rex Bad Batch and Anakin Skywalker took a look to fight their way out of a Separatist base. Gentlemen, favorite moments from On the Wings of Kira Dox?
There wasn't much.
What do you mean?
Around 19 to 18 minutes.
It was a shorter episode.
It was a very short episode, but it was fast-paced. It felt like it was the same length as the other ones, mm-hmm. so they did that well. I don't really know if I had a favorite moment. Not that the episode was bad. I really enjoyed it. It's just not one that really stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like it was just designed to set up what's going to happen in this final episode of the arc that start coming out. By the time you're listening to this podcast today, it's out.
So, yeah.
With that, what did you think about the episode, Sam?
No, it was good. I agree. It was just more of a setup for the next episode. If you want to use the word, it could be considered a filler in a sense. But it was good. A fun episode. Not a whole lot of plot development. I mean, they've got Echo out of the base now, and they defended the village. But other than that, not a whole lot happened. The thing that I think that's most important is it seems like there's something still going on with Echo. Like, it almost seems like the Techno Union still has, like, a hold on him somehow. Mm-hmm. Or he's, like, a spy or something. I'm not sure. But I think there's something there that's not quite what it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were talking at the end, one of those Techno Union guys was talking about, like, we need to capitalize on our investment or something, which makes it sound like they've still got a way to use Echo. So I think that's going to be important. I think it's going to be a sad end.
All this talk about the name Echo, and you said they got Echo out of the base. any chance there's a retcon in the works as to why they call the base on Hoth Echo Base?
No.
No?
No.
No, no, I don't think so. No. I mean, Echo is just called Echo. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they would, though.
Like, unless he does something tremendous that he becomes sort of a legend within.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
Kind of like Rogue One. That's the only reason I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's a fair reason. Yeah. So, I don't know. Interesting. It's an interesting point.
Yeah, it was a good episode. I do feel like they've got, without having to be tied to a 22-minute episode length.
Slot. And this next one needs to be like 45 minutes.
You know, they don't. They're not tied to it like they were when it was a network show, TV network show. They can do different types of lengths. I do feel like they can probably say, this is the part of the story we're telling this episode. We're going to then tell this next part, and we're not going to be constrained to time lengths.
Yeah.
So I think that the Bad Batch arc will be fun to watch from start to finish, and I'm hoping that we can do that this weekend and watch that whole story. And then I'm excited to go into the next one, which it's the Ahsoka arc.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. So we maybe that's what we'll do for my birthday. We'll catch up on the Ahsoka last parts of season 5,
yeah,
and recap some of that with the trial
and
all that.
Yeah,
that would be fun to do.
Sad.
You think it's sad?
It is a sad.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Well, the Rise of Skywalker The Rise of Skywalker novelization isn't being officially released until March 17th. But advanced copies have been released, and all the details have flooded all over the internet in the last week. So if you can't beat them, what do you do?
You join them.
So here are 5 revelations from the Rise of Skywalker novelization.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so I spent a good hour.
A good hour?
Just looking and trying to decide which revelations to discuss, because there's so many of them in this novel, which is, again, why I'm super excited to get this. You know, if I decided maybe to spend the extra $12 or whatever this next week and get it for my birthday for myself, that would probably be a good move. So we've got 5. We're all going to talk and share a little bit about some of these. Mm-hmm. First one's kind of not a major revelation. I think that those of us that knew, you know, that are involved in Star Wars podcasting and Star Wars fandom in a significant way kind of were already aware of this. Mm-hmm. But the first one is that Allegiant General Pride actually outranks General Hux.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In this. And my understanding, and you guys remember if this has been confirmed, was that the storyline of the Rise of the Resistance read at Galaxy's Edge is what is the storyline that actually sets up that change?
I haven't looked at anything at it. Yeah, I don't watch commercials.
Information about that ride.
We could have written it this week, by the way.
Stop it.
All right. Yeah, if we had, you know, had time and money. It also turns out, in addition to that, it also turns out that Pride has been direct. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. Has been directly working for the Emperor for decades.
I thought I've heard that somewhere, though.
Regularly reporting news back to Exegol and receiving orders. Now, here's where I think you're referring to this, Sam. Mm-hmm. When we talked about the Rise of Skywalker on this show after the movie came out, we mentioned that scene where it seems like he's interacting with the Emperor himself.
Yeah.
We see him. Bless you. Is that coronavirus? I hope not.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. Okay.
We caught it on the airplane.
The common cold.
Spirit Airlines. Anyway. All right. So I think that what we're talking about here is this when we were discussing in The Rise of Skywalker after the movie came out, we knew that Hux was being outranked by Allegiant General Pride. Mm-hmm. But then there's that conversation between the Emperor and Pride where after Kylo Ren, it's clear that Kylo Ren hadn't delivered Rey to the Emperor. And so there's this conversation that's going on there. And you can just sort of see that there's this connection between the Emperor and that. What do you think about the idea that there's been a First Order general that's been behind the scenes that we didn't know about until this movie, who he's like on a, he's got Darth Sidious on speed dial. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this, guys?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's, it helps makes more sense of the fact of how the First Order was able to take over and things.
Oh, yeah.
Is they had a guy behind the scenes working directly with the Emperor to move, put pieces in place, and move things where they needed to be. So I think it helps kind of justify how the First Order was able to take over. So,
effectively. It's pretty interesting how he just is buddies with Emperor Palpatine.
I wouldn't say they're buddies.
I don't know if anybody is really a buddy with Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it's pretty interesting how he's just been working with him for many decades.
Like 3 decades, ever since they followed the Empire.
To get the First Order built up.
Very interesting. You gonna yawn now?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. So, apparently, Palpatine had attempted to create a dyad with Anakin.
Whoa.
So, this is not the first time he's done this. It's in his first rodeo. So, in the scene where Palpatine's freaking out because he discovers the whole dyad thing, we get a little bit of insight into what's going through the Emperor's head as he tries to process this development. We learn that prior to one of... prior to the One Master, One Apprentice... I cannot speak today.
It's okay.
One Master, One Apprentice, Rule of Two, the Sith idea. The Sith actually had an idea. It was the doctrine of the dyad.
Nice.
So, which Palpatine believes was better than the Rule of Two, actually.
Hmm.
So, while it's not clear if these connections were naturally occurring or manufactured, or if either is possible, Palpatine at least thought it was a bond that it could be forged on purpose. So, like, the whole dyad thing, you know, we assumed that in the movie it was a natural thing between Rey and Kylo. But Palpatine believes that you can somehow force that to exist.
Force that.
I'll force it.
That's good. That's good.
And the Emperor ruminates on
That's
how...
a good word. You can tell we definitely pulled this from one of the articles.
Yeah, I did not.
I'll try to find them. I'll try to link the articles.
That word, on the spot. Yep. I don't even know what that word means. On how he tried and he ruminates on how he tried and failed to create a dyad with Anakin back in the day.
So he's sitting there thinking and talking to Rey. He's like monologuing is what that is.
Yeah.
He's monologuing to Rey about how he tried to create a dyad with Anakin Skywalker. What do you think about that, guys?
That's big. I think that's pretty big because it's like... I think everyone is, but I'm still a little iffy on the whole dyad thing. I'm guessing it's just like a strong bond between two people in the Force.
That something. When they work together, they become like unbelievably more powerful.
So he was trying to make it to where Anakin and him were this dyad, so they were when they were together, they were unbelievably strong. Is that kind of what we're saying?
We kind of got that from Red Skywalker that... It's natural. It has to happen by its own. You can't really force it.
Although, you know, it seems like Palpatine was trying to. He thought you could. What do you think about the idea, BB Nate, that the Emperor looks back over the 1,000 years of the Sith, or whatever it is that's going on, thousands of years, all the way going back to Bane, Darth Bane, and the Rule of Two?
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that the previous rule, this doctrine of the dyad, was a better way of doing things. What do you think about the idea that that's what he was trying to do?
I mean, it does make more sense. A master and an apprentice versus two people that can be connected evenly in the Force is more powerful. So it makes more sense for the dyad of the Force, to me.
Yeah, but, I mean, it almost seems like they're the same thing in a sense. I mean, it's just like...
No, it's not. Because Rule of Two is like, the you've got a clear master, you've got a clear apprentice. The apprentice, his responsibility is to try to rise up and kill the master. That's the Rule of Two, right? And then take his own apprentice.
Okay.
And it's getting exponentially more powerful each time. Because for the apprentice to rise up and kill the master, he has to become more powerful than the master. So then the next apprentice has to become more powerful than that. That's the idea behind the Rule of Two. The Force dyad idea is they together form this unbelievably powerful bond that channels the Force. That's what we see in The Rise of Skywalker.
I mean, the Rule of Two sounds more consistent and effective to me. Like, you can all, it's like more consistent results.
That's probably why they use it.
Right. You know, you know that after, over time, eventually the Sith are just going to become stronger. With the dyad thing, it's kind of like, oh, I hope these two are compatible. Like, I mean, it's like a...
Do they have like a SithMatch.com?
Right. Like, you know, it's like... You know,
swipe left, swipe right on
yeah, on, like,
God, sorry, did I throw you off?
Yeah, there? You threw me off. I'm like thinking about that, and it's not, yeah. It's not pretty. It's like midichlorian counts.
Yeah,
but
I wasn't done.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was like, but it seems like the whole dyad thing is like a 1 in a million chance. Like, if it does happen, it's great. But like, the rule of two is like, okay, it may not be as powerful, but you can consistently keep getting decent results.
That's a really good accurate.
Yeah. But right. Apparently, the Emperor also was evil.
Again. He was evil?
Yeah, he was evil. Thank you very much, Captain Obvious Moment.
I just
moment.
Wanted to let you guys know that the Emperor Palpatine is evil. But okay, good. Apparently the Emperor wanted Luke to kill him at the end of The Return of the Jedi.
Right. Well, I mean, so we like, kind of knew that.
He's like, you want to
explain it in greater detail. So, in the novelization, there's some extra dialogue and conversations from Palpatine and when Rey first... meets up with him, because that's pretty important. We don't see it a ton in the movie. The Emperor gives his pitch about how Rey can become the heir to the Sith legacy by killing him and thus allowing his spirit to live on in her so that they can be kind of their own dyad.
Well, no, it's not a dyad. He's like, he's surrendered to the rule of two is what it sounds like with
he
that.
He basically just needs a stronger, like a more healthy body at this point.
But Rey is not into this idea, of course, because
what?
She's
a good guy,
good person,
and she's Rey.
Yeah,
Rey Skywalker.
And then book version of this scene, Palpatine says something a little strange that we didn't expect. I've made this very proposal before, but on that unfortunate day, Luke Skywalker had his father to save him.
Well, that's gonna change the way I watch that scene.
We talked about this when we were first talking about The Rise of Skywalker after seeing it, and the whole scene about Rey, you know, the Emperor trying to have Rey kill him. We talked about that moment in Return of the Jedi, how it was replaying that. If you go back to that review episode where we did our spoiler review, our 100th episode, we actually dig into that to some extent. As in, is that the same thing? Is he actually trying to? Because remember, you know, he's like, strike me down and that type of stuff. Yeah. And Luke actually goes.
To strike him down.
And Vader...
Stops him.
What do you think about that? That Vader's trying to keep him from doing that.
I think Vader kind of knows what the Emperor's been doing. Like, what he's been trying to do.
I feel like this Darth Vader comic series that's going on right now is going to be very influential on what happens in Return of the Jedi. Because I think it's after 5.
It's between 5 and 6, yeah.
Interesting.
Like,
yeah.
And it's Charles Soule, so...
Yeah, I mean, we got just... I have, like... 10 comics I need to get at the store, so...
Are you always going to... do that anyway, I'm going to say, let's go do it. We're going to pause this real quick, and...
We'll come back in a couple hours.
Yeah, so. We'll be reading it during the podcast.
Yeah.
Live.
Why not? Somebody took screenshots of the entire fourth issue of Rise of Kylo Ren...
Really?
...and put it out on the internet for people to read.
Really? Somebody did something like that with the second-to-last episode, issue of the Vader, like, where he was doing that weird vision...
this is the entire, like, every scene.
Oh.
The entire comic.
Wow. Yeah, so people do
that's
that.
Pretty wrong. That's like,
people
why?
That's, did, somebody that's, did that for one of the best comic series on one of my Batman groups, and I'm just like, that's wrong. Yeah.
So, what do you think about the fact that the Emperor's, like, trying to duplicate what he was trying to do with Luke?
I mean, it really does change the way you watch that scene. I mean, and obviously, it's retcon. We can all agree on that. George did not think, oh yeah, dyad, you know, he wrote the scene. But like the way the retcon works very fluidly, I think. Or not fluidly necessarily, but it works. It doesn't seem forced. And it changes the way you see the
Emperor. Doesn't seem forced.
It doesn't. I'm
throwing things at you.
Okay. Anyway, what do you think about it, BB Nate? Return of the Jedi is one of your favorite Star Wars movies. What do you think about kind of tying that together with the end of The Rise of Skywalker?
It makes Return of the Jedi a little bit darker because it's like, oh,
space bears.
Yeah, space bears and Anakin's good again, and it's a very happy movie towards the end. And now that we know that Palpatine was trying to make him kill him, and the only thing that stopped him was his father, is makes it a little
What would have happened if Vader hadn't stepped in?
You know, I want, like, a what-if series. You know they're doing that with Marvel?
Marvel, what if with Star Wars? Like, what would have happened if Luke would have struck him down? The Emperor would have invaded his body or something, and then he would have been practically unstoppable?
Because there's so many things we could do. Like, what if Mace didn't die, and what would happen to Anakin, and would they allow him to stay with Padme?
It would be cool to see a what-if series.
Yeah.
Come on, Disney Plus.
It'd be fun for the writers.
Since we can't go to the movies anymore, could you guys go ahead and do that? Yeah. You know, all the movies are being canceled.
Writers at Lucasfilm.
Yeah, 45 minutes ago, or like an hour ago, they announced that Fast and Furious 9 was delayed a whole year.
That's probably because Fast and Furious 9 is garbage, and they have to redo the whole thing. So,
Yeah, that's logical. But yeah, so we were talking a little bit ago about, like, the Mortis stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like in Rebels, The World Between Worlds. Mm. This book actually brings that in a little bit.
Explain.
So, one fan noticed, though, that at some point in the book, there was something that paraphrases The World Between Worlds. Little backstory. In Star Wars Rebels, The World Between Worlds was a kind of time portal
thing. It was really strange, and we saw some things from the last
trip. I kind of want to watch that now, too, anyway.
That let Ezra Bridger rescue Ahsoka Tano from Darth Vader. In The Rise of Skywalker Visual Dictionary, it was made clear that The World Between Worlds could have been one way that Rey contacted the spirits of the Jedi in the past for the grand finale.
Okay, that moment at the end?
Yeah, where she's hearing all the voices and stuff. And what's interesting is in Rebels, when they go into The World Between Worlds, you're hearing all the voices from the future.
Right. So Ahsoka might not be dead. Are we saying that?
Maybe. Oh, because we always thought that all those voices were dead.
No, that's what's been confirmed. So she's dead by the time we get to the Rise of Skywalker.
Okay, and they don't just put that in there without having to explain it, because you don't do that.
So from the book specifically, it says, quote, "It was like she was staring through a window to somewhere else, a place between places."
Or a world.
Sounds a lot like a world between worlds. That sounds like
it to me.
Because we had something from Last Jedi in it. We had, what is it called?
Crap, those weird space
horses. Cantobite.
Yeah.
The whole Cantobite scene was in Rebels.
Why am I forgetting what this...
The whole Cantobite scene was
in Rebels. No, in the World Between Worlds.
Yeah, you saw
what were those horses called?
Wait.
So, in one of the portals, there was Fathiers running around a circle, and you heard, like, galloping.
I thought those were wolves.
Nope. Those were...
No, that's on the outside portal to get into the actual World
Between Worlds. There were Fathiers in that?
Yes. In one of the portals inside the World Between Worlds, yeah.
Why have I not been told this? You can
hear quotes from The Last Jedi, too.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I knew that, but...
Yeah, you can see a portal with Fathers in there.
All right.
Come on, Dad. You
need to watch that again.
You should maybe. Deal with it.
I guess we'll have to watch that, too.
Okay.
The things that's going to be happening with the things, we need to know
that. Yeah, exactly. We need to know that stuff. But the things that could happen. What do you guys think? Do you think they're going to bring more Worlds Between Worlds stuff into the future of Star Wars? Like, integrate that idea throughout different things?
That should be like,
maybe High Republic
time. I was going to say, they should bring it into the High Republic.
What if, like, part of the Rebel series is a Sabine and Ahsoka trying to get to the World Between Worlds to save Ezra?
The rumored Star Wars Rebels
That'd be cool.
Secondary
series. And it doesn't work, series. And then they have to go find him. That'd be pretty cool. I'd like that cool. for like the first two.
And then Ahsoka has to die.
The episodes have to be 45
minutes. Okay, now we're getting into weird time travel paradox stories. Say that they do find the World Between Worlds, and Ahsoka goes and pulls Ezra out so he doesn't die when the ship jumps or whatever. Does that mean that he's not able to pull her out before, so she dies, or...
I have no idea what you just said.
You know what I mean?
No, because that stuff with Ahsoka has already happened before that point.
So it doesn't change anything.
No.
Okay.
He know where he is and everything, so
we're not getting any time.
Yeah, but and this is like we're doing a weird deep dive completely off track. But
already knows it.
But the reality...
I'm sorry.
Let me see.
Hey.
The reality is, though... The reason that it works in Star Wars Rebels with Ahsoka is that Ahsoka goes back to that very moment. She goes back to that spot and bides her time.
Oh, that's true. She just doesn't... He just saves her from the killing
from getting killed by Vader. Then Vader leaves in the end of season 2 of Rebels.
That's
and right. She shows back up there. We see her going down into the thing.
Yeah.
And then it's years later that we see her at the end of Rebels.
Maybe they could find some way to...
I don't know.
This is getting trippy. This is like
Infinity War. And Emperor Palpatine already knows where World Between Worlds is because he's
physically been in there.
Did weird fires stuff.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're watching some of season four of Rebels this weekend too. All right, last one, and here it is. I mean, everybody knows that Emperor Palpatine, the big one that everybody's waiting for us to talk about, is that Emperor Palpatine's survived by transferring his essence into a clone body straight out of Dark Empire. This is like a legend story. We've been talking about that. We speculated that that could be the case. Other people have been speculating that could be the case. God bless you,
dang, dude.
Coronavirus.
I do not have...
Okay, has 2020 just been trying to kill us this entire
time? Yeah, I like the Jumanji meme that I saw.
Yeah, it's like we got World War III, and then in
which, remember how big that was?
Yeah.
It was like the world's coming to an end, everybody's freaking out. And then it was like, oh, wait, there was...
It was World War III in January, then what was it in February?
Kobe died.
Well, I don't know, there was like a global thing. I don't remember.
Coronavirus? Because it's kind
of
lasted.
Yeah, no, it was more... That's more of a March thing. And then the coronavirus. Like, it just... Oh, no, it was like the Australia fire.
Oh, well, which was terrible.
That
was
I mean, I am too, but it's just like everything... It was coming up. Anyway, that's not relevant.
Anyway, so everybody's been talking about Rey's, or about the Emperor transferring his essence into a clone body, and that's a big revelation, but not really much of a revelation. It was one of the primary theories.
Yeah,
even when we first heard the laugh at the end, of the original trailer to The Rise of Skywalker, you kind of wondered if that's what he had done.
Yeah.
Right.
With it. So everybody's talking about that, but the big revelation is actually that Rey's daddy was one of the clones that they tried to do. So here's how it works.
Yeah, it's
tricky. Yeah, okay, so let me read this from you, from one of the articles. During the scene in the Rise of Skywalker novelization, when Rey is pretending to take part in the Sith ritual on Exegol in order to trick Palpatine, she's like going to go ahead and kill him and all that stuff, she has a vision that recounts her grandfather's past in the novel.
Okay.
The passage in the book reveals that following his apparent death in the Return of the Jedi, Palpatine thrust his consciousness into a clone body. However, the transfer was imperfect, and members of the Sith Eternal, that's all of those weird people in
Exegol. I knew it was the people at the beginning making the Snoke babies.
Members of the Sith Eternal worked tirelessly to engineer a new vessel to harbor Palpatine's essence. One of these vessels is described as a useless, powerless failure who was not quite identical clone.
Well, what a way to come into the world. Right. You are a useless, powerless failure.
Wow. There's some daddy issues there for sure.
Literally.
Yeah.
Is that more like a self-identity issue?
No, this is like, that's what they were telling him. So anyway, while this replacement body was not fit to hold Palpatine's awesome power, it was able to live. And apparently, it was Rey's daddy.
So are we saying that Palpatine is basically Rey's daddy?
I'm my own grandpa.
So, I mean, the whole cloning facility stuff on Jakku, is that the Emperor's clones?
It wasn't a cloning facility. It was an observation. No, it's an observation facility.
Kamino is a cloning facility.
Here's where so let's just talk about this. How do you wrap your head around the whole Rey's daddy is actually a clone of Palpatine? What does that make Rey?
Palpatine's daughter.
Half daughter?
It's strange.
I don't know.
Does it make Rey a nobody?
Yeah, sure. Technically.
How?
Because she doesn't even have a real father.
Her lineage.
Her father's a clone. Father.
Her lineage is just her father and nothing ahead.
He's a nobody himself. They've gone out of their way in the way they wrote this to say he's useless, he's powerless, he's nobody, he's a failure. That's the big question I have. I don't think the book even answers that from what I understand. Of course, I haven't read it. Why would they let a
pointless thing live? This is the Empire we're talking about here. They would kill it in a heartbeat.
I don't know. Maybe that's a whole comic that they have to come out. So we don't really know. Does it make Rey a nobody? What do you think?
Technically, yes.
Because her own father...
It's less important, I think.
Well, here's where I'm coming to. One of the biggest criticisms of The Rise of Skywalker was that it retcons the nobody Rey element from The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. It makes her... It's all about lineage. It's all about Palpatine. But now we find out that the reason that her father was rejected...
Powerless failure.
He's a nobody.
He has no power in the Force. None. Mm-hmm. So technically...
she is nothing about lineage, and this was just all a big master plan with Rian Johnson.
Oh, but I thought JJ retconned the entire Last Jedi.
Well, what do you think, though? I mean, do you like my idea that it makes her nobody?
Oh, I like that idea.
Do you like the idea that it makes the mirror cave scene make more sense? Like, she's a clone? That was one of the things that was like...
Yeah, that does make a lot more sense. Yeah.
Everything came together with this one little tidbit of information.
It's kind of cool. It's interesting. It's getting criticized, but I think it'll be interesting to read.
Why?
One last thing.
Star Wars is being criticized?
Yeah, I know, for sure.
What's new?
One last thing, though. One last element.
Okay.
Does this have everything to do with Baby Yoda?
Mm-hmm. I better not see Baby Yoda being, like, tortured for his Force essence, or I will boycott Star Wars.
Are they wanting Baby Yoda to help build a clone body?
I think a more powerful clone body.
Extract his Force essence. Oh, yeah.
Be able to enhance it.
That goes all the way back to that first episode when Dr. Pershing's wearing the patch. That's the Kamino in patch.
Okay, but you know what?
Kaminoan. I got it right. I was watching it yesterday. It's Kaminoan. Yep.
Din Djarin better protect Baby Yoda with his life. I will be okay if I see Din Djarin die before Baby Yoda.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Dark. What if Baby Yoda sacrificed himself for Din Djarin?
I wouldn't like it, because
I kind of would.
Anyway, because it's the master.
All right.
This is completely off topic.
I know. I'm just ready for season two of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, which we'll talk about here in just a second. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah, so The Mandalorian season two has wrapped filming.
That was cool.
Just kind of like edit. Get it out.
Yeah, Ming-Na Wen talked about it, and then one of the directors or producers or something talked about it.
Wait,
huh?
Her character's dead. Character.
No, it wasn't Ming-Na Wen. It was Gina Carano.
Oh, sorry. I was like, wait.
Sorry, I was thinking about Mulan. I got Mulan on my brain for some reason. I don't know. It's just in my head.
You're gonna start seeing the Japanese version.
I'm still a little thrown off by what Nathan revealed to me that she's got the
Disney
hat trick. She did. She was in. She's a Disney princess. Mm-hmm. She was in Marvel, and she's been in Star Wars. Just blew my mind.
It's pretty impressive.
That's one heck of a resume. Yeah.
And I mean, maybe we'll see the first episode of Celebration.
I hope so. Now, if they even have, Celebration,
slim chance. Now,
are you setting me up for that? Was that me?
No. Okay. I was just saying that it might happen less now. Yeah. It was a small chance before, but. Baby Yoda merchandise likely delayed to the coronavirus.
No!
The coronavirus is ruining our lives, even though...
You don't even have to have the coronavirus, and it's making it terrible.
I know. No Time to Die is delayed. Quiet Place 2 is delayed. Mulan, I'm surprised, isn't delayed.
That one blows my mind.
Yeah, it does. Onward didn't get delayed, which people wanted it to for some reason. I don't know why, but...
We should see that.
We should. I want to. But, I mean... Come on, just give us the Baby Yoda. Maybe it'll help people feel better.
Maybe,
but it's being produced and manufactured in China, though.
Maybe it'll be specifically for Celebration.
There you go.
I'd probably blow out all of my money for Baby Yoda.
The original Star Wars comic series, the one that's out, you know, like the line, that series that's out, the main Star Wars comic series.
I'm waiting for issue 5 where he finds his yellow saber.
Yeah. Reveals that Leia was actually frozen in carbonite after The Empire Strikes Back.
How did that happen?
And we...
I don't know.
And, yeah.
Okay.
Wait. It's like
and remember when she says that on the...
well, that's how she knows about it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It was funny, though. I did see Steel Saunders, Steel Wars podcast.
Yeah.
He tweeted out about this today. And he's like, you know, Star Wars comics be like, you're frozen in carbonite. You're frozen in carbonite. You're frozen in carbonite. Disney Star Wars. That's what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. This week's... coming up, podcast poll of the week. Thank you guys so much for your support.
Yeah.
And the last poll, we appreciate
that. Yeah, that was great.
Best revelation from the Rise of Skywalker novelization. Raised Daddy a clone, failed Anakin dyad, Palps wanted Luke to kill him, or other comment below. What do you guys think?
I'll start with Raised Daddy is a clone. That's definitely
Palps wanted Luke to kill him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to go Raised Daddy as a clone. I think it
changes. That just changes everything.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to be watching the movie and my mind's going to...
Absolutely. Very cool. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys listening to the show. Thank you guys for doing that. Subscribe on whatever podcast service that you listened to this on right now. It's really easy to just open up your phone and go ahead and press the subscribe button.
You're going
to
do what you did.
And get updates. No, I'm not going to walk
one time
through it like
and
that. Yeah, no, but you know what to do. Please do that. It does make a difference. Share this on social media.
It'll help us do that thing that we're...
That thing that's coming.
Yeah.
The thing.
With the people.
With that one thing.
That does the stuff.
Exactly.
You say people.
We'll see.
Say the things.
Yeah.
It's still vague enough.
Yeah. Anyway, subscribe. Social media, we're kind of a little bit more active on Twitter right now.
We're trying.
We're trying to get back into it. Facebook. We're hoping to get a lot more active on Facebook in the future. We're getting re-engaged with that. But also your reviews, guys. Please take some time to give us reviews. When you guys do the reviews, it truly does help other people to find the show. So thank you guys. We should probably talk about that at the beginning of the show, not the end, a couple of times, because that's most people don't make it this far in the show because we wear
you. Yeah, you should.
We wear you guys out.
You wouldn't be able to hear this if you didn't.
Yeah, anyway. So, I guess that's going to pretty much do it. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you, always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.